cobrir de ar canto.
Ooh. Okay, what's going on right here?
Glorify you for all that you do in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen.
Okay, now based upon sleep and dead, to understand the difference, because both of them are dead, but we want to understand what dies and why it's classified as sleep and dead. And you can fix it however you want to, that's the way I'm just interpreting.
I don't remember all the scriptures, but based on what we talked about up until this point,
for those people that don't line up to the will of God, when you die, you die. There's no resurrection, so to speak, for you until the final one at the day of judgment. For those people that line up to the will of Yah and operate in righteousness, when they die, according to the scripture, it's not death, it's sleep. And the sleep being from the perspective of at Christ's return, they'll be resurrected. So for them, it's not an utter end, so to speak. It's just a sleep until that day comes.
Okay. Now, just to confirm, this is just a scripture that we use to confirm with what Elder said in reference to understanding the two concepts. I'll just say that for lack of a better word. Luke 16, verse 22 said, "It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." Now, where he went, that place is not inhabited by the righteous now, because when Christ ascended, he was the first begotten of many brethren. So, but it gives you an understanding to know what takes place when two categories of people die. One category being the righteous, the other category being the wicked. As we look in verse 22, it shows that the beggar, as you look at verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate, healed, being the rich man in verse 19. So you have a rich man that's classified as the wicked. You have the righteous being classified as the beggar Lazarus. Okay? Now, as the verse 22 points out, then it came to pass the beggar Lazarus died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried. So you see there's a difference. When the righteous die, there is an encounter whereby they go to a specific place, and when the unrighteous die, they go to a specific place, and we'll see in verse 22. Abraham's bosom is the place where the righteous dead was taken before Christ resurrected, okay? The rich man went to a place that the unrighteous still go to date. Okay. Now, verse 22 again, as the elder pointed out, then it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel, letting us know that it's righteous. So we have a different encounter when we die as the righteous. And the Abraham's bosom lets you know that after death, we still live. Okay. The rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, the rich man here. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. So hell is a place of torment, and it also let us know that although the beggar and the rich man died, both of them still live eternal, because it is the physical body that dies, not the real you, so to speak. Not the spirit of you, not the part that exists eternally. When God or Yah breathed the breath of life in man became a living soul who resides in a physical body. That living soul is eternal. It spends eternity in one place or another, depending on if they're righteous and unrighteous. So we're seeing an example here of what took place with the beggar as the righteous, and what took place with the rich man as the unrighteous. Rich man died, he lifts his eyes up in hell, being in torment. Now it says that he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. In his bosom means Lazarus just close to him, nearby. And he cried and said, Father Abraham. So he's communicating with Abraham because he's in the lower part of the earth. There is a, that's what it explains. There, before Christ ascended to be on the right-hand side of the Father, there was a lower part of the earth where men and women or just the righteous dwell before Christ's resurrection. Because when he resurrected, the scripture said that the saints walked the streets and were seen by many. Not only did he resurrect, but there were saints who resurrected with him. And we see a different location now for us since Christ has ascended to heaven. Okay? Now, he lifts up his eyes, verse 23. He cries to Abraham in verse 24. He asks Lazarus to send, he asks Lazarus to have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Okay? So we understand from a perspective of unrighteous, they go to hell, they are in flames. They thirst in hell. That is one of the torments. They thirst in hell. They're in agony there. And so when you look at it, and from what we understand about how Yah created things, we have to know that once we are in eternal, the physical body is what limits us. You know, I talked about Yehoshua could walk through walls. He could still eat, sit down and eat fish, and I believe honeycomb. He could still eat physically like we eat, but yet once he resurrected, his body was not limited to how we're limited from a perspective of the flesh, the physical body. Okay, and so once we die, then all of our senses are heightened. The reason why this rich man is thirst is because when you look at how Yah created things, you have the abyss that's underneath hell. There is no depth. The scripture doesn't describe a depth. That's why they've never found the bottom of the ocean and different things like that, because you have the ocean that's separated from the water above the firmament or heaven. So you have an ocean, and then you have the deep. So you have ocean water, then you have the deep. And you have, since hell is in the earth or dry ground, you have water underneath it. So this rich man, senses is heightened, and he's aware that water is all around him burning in this flame. So can you imagine one of the torments of knowing that you have water all around you and you thirst and you can't get it? Okay? And so he's asking from this perspective. And so just to confirm what Elder was saying, there is a difference. Those who die in Christ, we sleep. Those who die not in Christ are as the unrighteous. The righteous die. When we die, we sleep. The unrighteous, they just die and be buried. Because that death then shows a disconnection from Yah eternally. Because once we die, it's the judgment. We don't get another chance. Okay? And so those are reasons why the scripture point out, work while it is day, but no man can work when it's dark.
When it's dark.
Yes.
I find it amazing that on television and people in general, whenever somebody...
And then I'll keep moving, and you just ask the question once you call in. Just ask the question once you call in. As soon as you call in, just ask. And I'll just keep moving, but you can ask as soon as you call in. Okay, so as we see it here, I have to go back because there may be some who may who may not understand the term sleep that we use. So we'll go back to John 11 to use the example as far as enough of Lazarus is concerned. So when you look at John...
Pastor?
Yes, okay, go ahead, Nat.
I was just going to say, I just find it amusing that on television and different people that you talk to, whenever anybody dies, regardless, they always put them in heaven.
Exactly.
And that's not fair to, you know, the general understanding of all of this. I mean, because common sense would tell you everybody's not going to heaven, but that's where they put them.
Exactly. And I believe if it was taught more often, then people would make a conscious decision that while they live in, it's a place they don't want to go. So they'll make some necessary changes in order to keep that from taking place.
But if you think about it, even from the perspective of Satan and his kingdom, why would they ever talk about that? They want everybody to think is that they're going to make it to heaven and all these kind of things. So nobody from a perspective of kingdom is dealing with it. And so the prevailing thought is you can do whatever you want to and you're going to make it.
Right. I mean, that is true. You know, you can make your confession on your deathbed kind of thing.
Right.
You know, and which I'm not saying that's not the case, but it's just that there should be a clear understanding, just like Mama Coach mentioned, in reference to this, and that's why Yah is having us deal with it. Now, as you look at John 11, because we have two Bibles up here, as you look at three, as you look at John 11, we'll look at verse 11, just to understand the difference. Christ said these things. These things said he, and after that, he says unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then it said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well, because that's like his sleep from a perspective of you know, like we do rest, okay? Verse 13 says, howbeit Yehoshua spake of his death. So those who are in Christ, the scripture says, we sleep. Okay, we sleep. Then verse 14 says, then say Yehoshua unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, because now he's relating to them in reference to Lazarus' death. And when you read all of John 11, I don't want to deal with this because I want to move forward. I'm just setting it up so that we know the difference between the two. Those who die in Christ, we sleep. And there's going to be a resurrection of the physical body when we return, who die, when we return from heaven, and we'll look at these scriptures that I'm talking about. So a person may say, okay, we'll explain that. We're going to explain that in the scripture. We're just laying the foundation. So I'm not going to say in John 11, because we see here where Christ refers to the righteous as sleeping, okay? Luke 16 points out that we live eternally in one place or the other, okay? We move to 2 Corinthians 5 now. Paul is giving us an understanding of how things work, because since Christ has been resurrected and on the right-hand side of the Father, all those who die now go to heaven, okay? All those who die go to heaven. And we looked at other scriptures to confirm that. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time there because I want to move forward to explain it, but we'll use 2 Corinthians 5 to lay this foundation to show that we live eternally, one place or the other. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house, this is talking about the physical body, if the earthly house of this body were dissolved to decay, death, what is going on? We have a building of Yah and house not made with hands. This is the eternal of us. So the only thing that's keeping us from this heaven experience is the physical body, this tabernacle, this house, this earthly house that we live in. That's why it goes on to say eternal in heaven. As the righteous, we know that when the physical body dies, we have an eternal house building not made with the hands of men, but a building of Yah that is eternal in the heavens. Or we return because we live here on earth eternally. This is why verse 2 says, "But in this we groan earnestly, designed to be clothed with our house which is from heaven." Each one of us as a righteous has a house that is from heaven that is eternal. Okay? Verse 3. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. We're clothed, we're not found naked. Okay? Verse 4 says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon." When we are unclothed with this physical body, now we are clothed with immortality, eternity. We're eternal now. Okay? And that's where, you know, to try to give us a mental picture of what he's saying to us. But he says, "But clothed upon it, and mortality might be swallowed up of life." Mortality now, the physical body that dissolves, is swallowed up. Okay, it is swallowed up. That mortality of us that has to die is swallowed up. When it's swallowed up now, it is swallowed up of life. We now are, that mortality may be swallowed up of life. Verse 5, "Now he that hath wrought us for the same thing is Yah, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident." Each one of us have confidence knowing this fact now. We're confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, the tabernacle, the earthly house, verse 1, at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We know this. We know the only thing that's keeping us from Christ, where is Christ? He's on the right-hand side of the Father. The only thing that's keeping us absent from him, from I don't want to say physical because the physical body has to die, but the only thing that's keeping us absent from him is this earthly body. Okay? That's why verse 6 says it. We know this. We're confident in this here. To be absent from while we're home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Because of this, we walk by faith, not by sight. We trust in the words of Yah concerning this fact. We walk by faith concerning that. Verse 8 says, "We are confident now, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body." When you look at the word body, we're going to define it here. The word body in verse 8, It is soma, okay? It means literal body. To be absent from the literal body, your physical body. So it lets us know that this is the earthly vessel that has to obey the law of Yah. What is the law of Yah? The law of Yah concerning the physical body says this, okay? Genesis 2, verse 7. It says, and Yah God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This body here is what goes back into the ground. We were made from it. Dust thou art, dust thou hast to return. It is appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. Once to go back to the ground by which he was created from a perspective of the physical body. Okay? The breath of life, again, and the Lord, and Yah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed. Before he breathed, it was just a physical body, the same way it is when our loved ones die and they are in the casket. It is the exact same thing that Yah formed, and that's exactly how it looked. It was lifeless. It was just laying there, having no life to it whatsoever. That's why we know when our loved one died, and they are gone from that because it is no life there. It is nothing there but an earthly body that has to go back to the dust. Now, the real us is the breath of Yah. The breath of Yah is eternal. It doesn't die. So when Yah breathes that breath of life in us, when we give up the ghost or die, that breath of life comes out of the physical body, but it is eternal. We are eternal. That's why the rich man goes to one place, Lazarus goes to the other place, although they both physically are in the ground. Okay? And so it shows it here. Again, he breathes in his nostrils the breath of life, and man, when you look at man, let's look at what man says. And man, Adam, okay, Adam, human being, and man, Adam, became a living soul. This living soul is eternal. When you look at it again, verse 7, it says living, alive. It says soul. It means from a mental capacity. It is the part of us that is eternal. That's why we understand the different man is spirit, soul, and body. Okay, so you understand man became a living soul. That soul now is eternal. It's eternal. It never dies. That's why Lazarus, he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. The rich man. The rich man lifted up his eyes being in torment because his soul is eternal. Lazarus was carried. His soul was carried to Abraham's bosom because he's eternal. Okay? So I just want to make sure that we understand that. That's why now when we look at verse 8, Corinthians 5, it says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. When we're absent from the body, what's gone? The soul. When that soul is absent from the body, that soul, as a righteous, is present with Yah, or present with the Lord. Okay? Present with both, Yah and his son. That soul is present. When we're absent as the righteous, we immediately go from one place to the other. We leave the physical body, we go and be with the Lord. Now it says, because we understand this fact, verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. That's why we want to labor. When you look at the word labor, it is from a perspective of to be fond of honor, strive, study. Okay, we know we're not righteous because of our works, because Romans pointed out this is not a work, but this is a faith. That's why the scripture says in verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, just because I show up at church don't give me a trip to heaven, like most people believe. Well, I go to church, then I ought to go to heaven. No, this is a labor of faith in what Christ has done for us, and we line up with the word concerning everything we're supposed to do. We're laboring, and we're always working this thing out. We're always laboring. We're always striving for perfection. Okay? We will be perfect when he comes. That's why I always tell people, you know, y'all don't straighten me out when he gets here. When he sends his son, he's going to straighten long out. Long and straight out. Whichever way it go, I'm going to get straightened out. Just like all of you going to get straightened out. Okay? So my faith now, your faith, your complete trust in what we're reading is what now puts us in the position where we're walking in this righteousness, and we continue to do so until he returns, because you can't lose it. So let people tell you once saved, always saved. We'll deal with some things in Acts to show that some people did walk away from the faith. Okay? So verse 9 says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the thing done in his body according to that he has done, whether good or bad. So the things that we do in the body, it says in reference to the body. Okay? We're going to stand before Christ from the soul perspective, but then there's some things that's going to take place even later on when we deal with the white throne judgment, but I'm just showing how this thing actually works, okay? Now, verse 11, and then we'll move to other scriptures to further confirm this. It says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto Yah, and our trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Okay? Now, let's move to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll further confirm these facts. Okay? 2 Corinthians 11, let's see where we want to start here. Well, I'm in 2 Corinthians. I'm like, this ain't looking like 1 Corinthians 11. Okay, this is another scripture in reference to the righteous being asleep. Okay, let's see where we want to start. Verse 27. First Corinthians 11, verse 27. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, and a lot of people don't have no clue what that actually means. It says, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Man, I wish I could spend some time with this, but it's not in the subject matter what I'm doing, because a lot of people think, you know, you can't take communion and different things, but, you know, because of certain things, but they don't understand the real meaning behind it. And I may deal with it some other time, just not now. Verse 28 says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, and among men are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So he's referring to sleep as a perspective of death. This is what Paul is referring it to. Okay. Now we'll move to 1 Corinthians 15 because I want to show you what happens from the perspective of those of us who are alive and remaining when Christ returns. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15. Let me see. Yeah, we'll start at. We just start at verse 12, okay? And I'm just going to skip around at different verses referring to sleep, and then on some things we may deal with in detail as far as 1 Corinthians, and once we get down to the other portion. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6 says, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. You're seeing this same association with those who are in Christ. We don't die, we fall asleep, but we're going to find out a little bit more detail what this falling asleep is and what takes place when Christ returns, okay? Then it says, after that he was seen of James, then all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as a one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not me to be called an apostle because I persecute the church of Yah. You know, Yah can use anybody because Paul persecuted the church before Yah used him. Now, I want to skip to verse 12 because we're dealing with death. It says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Okay, now when we're talking about this resurrection, we ought to know that this is not talking about the eternal soul. This is talking about the physical body. There is going to be a resurrection of the physical body. Okay? The scripture calls it in Revelation 20 the first resurrection. Okay? Now, verse 13 says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Because Christ is risen, that let us know there is a resurrection for us also who die. Okay, he's the first begotten. Verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Okay? Verse 15, yeah, and we are found false witnesses of Yah, because we have testified of Yah that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. He's saying if this is not a fact, then all those who die believe in Christ, they just perish. Okay. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. All we got in our relationship with Yah right now, that's miserable, man. We have nothing to look forward to. But then he now tells us the true issue. He just used that as an example to say, well, if Christ didn't rise, then all this stuff is in vain. But then he turns around and he says in verse 20 now, but now is Christ risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead. And become the first fruit of them that slept. He's the first fruit. Christ slept and resurrected. All those who slept in Christ before his resurrection also slept. He's the first fruit of many brothers. Okay? But now Christ risen from the dead because nobody could go to heaven. That's why they were all in what was called Abraham's bosom before Christ died. Lazarus died, okay? Abraham died. All of these people are in paradise. That's why the Savior tells the thief, he said, remember me, Lord, when you enter your kingdom. He said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. He's talking about this place called Abraham's bosom in Luke 16. But once he is the first fruit of the many brethren, everybody now resurrect and go where he went. Okay? Or when the body dies, they go where he went. Okay? So I just want to point this out and ask questions if these things are not clear because we're not just trying to cover information. We want understanding. So if anybody don't understand, whether you hear or conference call, don't hesitate to ask questions. Okay? Now he says, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. Okay? For since by man came death, who is this man, Adam? By man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Okay, verse 23, but every man in his own order. What does it mean by in his own order? Let's make sure we understand what that means, okay? In his own order. We have an order of how we are awakened, okay? How we will awaken. When you look at order, it means orderly arrangement, okay? Succession. okay? There is an order. There is an order to this thing, and so it's showing association to how this order works. Okay. So again, verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit. So that means no man could do this before the order. Christ is the standard. So that's why everybody had to be in the lower parts of the earth, or what is called paradise. Because they could now go be with Yah the Father out of order. Christ had to be the first to resurrect and to ascend to be with the Father. It had to be an order. Everyone has to follow that order. Okay? Verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. What do you mean? What is he talking about? Those that are died, they shall be resurrected. Verse 22. When they're going to be resurrected? At his coming. What's going to be resurrected? The physical body. Why? Because the soul now is eternal. It don't need resurrection. So this is talking about the physical body. So that is an event that's going to take place when Christ returns. Christians call it the rapture, but it is the gathering. And during this time when Christ returns, those who are in Christ will resurrect, or the physical body will resurrect and be joined again with the soul. In the twinkling of an eye, we will be like him now. He resurrected. When he resurrected, he also, the physical body, resurrected. When Christ died on the cross, his soul didn't die. He didn't go into non-existence. The scripture points out what he did when he died. When he died, he went into captivity captive in the lower parts of the earth. Who was in the lower parts of the earth? Those who were in paradise. He went to the lower parts of the earth and brought out captivity captives. Thus, when he resurrected, you had saints who were walking the street. They had to walk the street because he had to be the first to ascend. But he didn't ascend right off. He was seen by many for 40 days. Okay? So it's letting us know here there is an order. Christ now, the first fruit. Afterwards, they that are of Christ at his coming. Everyone who dies now, their physical body is in the grave waiting on the return of Christ. That's what everybody's waiting on. That's what the physical body is waiting on. But in the meanwhile, the soul is alive and well. In heaven. I'll show you here. We've dealt with this in other lessons, but this is the perfect time to show you again. What book is it in? Let me just be lazy. I know it's in Revelation, but I can't remember if it's 11 or 12. I think it's 12, though. Okay. Yes. Now, when you look at Revelation 6 and 9 to confirm 1 Corinthians here, 1 Corinthians 23, Revelation 6 and 9 said, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls. Under the altar is kind of like saying Abraham's bosom. It's giving you a vicinity that there are some events going on, and so it says the souls, because these souls that are in heaven, this is a future event that speaks both of things that happened now and things that will happen to the saints in the future. The saints in the future are going to be killed for the witness of Christ and for the witness of Christ and the word of Yah. When they are killed, the soul will leave the physical body, and this is the event that Yah is showing us scripture that's going to take place. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls, because they are dead, they have left their body, that were slain. The physical body is dead. The souls are under the altar in heaven. Okay? For the word of Yah and for the testimony which they held. And they cried, letting you know these souls are not non-existent. They are just souls that have left the physical body to prove what 1 Corinthians 15 and 23 is saying at his coming. That these souls that we're reading about are going to reunite with their physical body when Christ returns. But right now or in the future, when they are slain for the word of Yah and the testimony which they have, the souls are going to be crying for vengeance, in reference to them being slain for how long? And we'll read this here. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, doest thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Let you know that these souls are not on earth. Paul said to be absent from the body, First Corinthians 5 or 2 Corinthians 5? To be absent from the body, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 5, is to be present with the Lord. So these souls are with Yah. And so they're asking the Lord, when are you going to avenge and bring judgment on those on the earth who killed us? Physical body still there. Souls in heaven. Near the altar. Okay? And white robes were given unto them. And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren shall be killed. So we know this is death. As they were, should be fulfilled. So they left the physical body. Yeah, something else? Yeah. So they left the physical body. So now when we get over to 1 Corinthians 15, we are understanding this same concept. We look at verse 23 again. It says, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Those souls will come with Christ to reunite with the physical body that is in the ground. Okay? And I'll show you this in the scripture here. Now, verse 24 says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to Yah, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Verse 25, for he must reign till he has put all his enemies under his foot. So this is not a heaven trip when he returns. He's not coming to take folks to heaven. He's coming to bring down the power of this system. And he is not going to give all of his rulership over to the Father until everything on earth has become subject. That's what the scripture means, unto all his enemies under his foot. I have authority here on earth. That's why he's returning. He's not coming to get Christians to heaven, getting Christians to take them to heaven. He is coming to set up his kingdom here on earth, and those who are the righteous souls will return with him, enter into that physical body, and that will be the first resurrection, Revelation chapter 20. Okay, I'll pull it up and just show it to you to show you that this is the case. All right? Revelation 20, verse 4, said, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls. There you go. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahushua and for the word of Yah, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or their hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Look at what verse 5 says. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. The first resurrection is when the souls return with Christ to to resurrect the physical body, and when that takes place, those righteous will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And those of us who are alive when this event takes place, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed and be just like them and Christ. Okay? That is the first resurrection for all those who die not in Christ. They will not resurrect. They resurrect during this last one, the white throne judgment, as we see in verse 11 of Revelation 20. That's why you see in verse 11, it says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, and from the face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yah, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the book. This is when they resurrect. This is the second resurrection. The righteous are in the first resurrection who die. The unrighteous in the second one to be judged. And then as verse 13 said, they are cast into hell eternity, or the lake of fire, verse 14. Death in hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That means no one dies. They're resurrected with the physical body, then the soul and the body of this individual, all of their being is now cast into the lake of fire. All of our being is now living eternity on earth. Okay? Notice what the Savior said after his resurrection. He said, here, handle my flesh and my bones. We're going to have flesh, the physical. The life is in the blood. The blood goes out as along with the breath. That's why the scripture says in a nutshell, flesh and blood shall not enter into the kingdom. Okay, so it's a resurrection that takes place, and we are changed to be like Christ in his resurrection. And all those who die and go on, and once they return to the physical body, this resurrection will take place. Death now has no more sting on those who are in the first resurrection. Okay? Death and hell is cast into the lake of fire. So when we go back to 1 Corinthians 15, we are seeing these concepts unfold. Verse 24, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of Yah, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. That's why he is returning. That's why he's returning. He's not returning to take church folks to heaven. Verse 25, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is the enemy. That's why we don't do it. We sleep. Okay? We sleep. And so when I'm talking about death, I'm talking about the physical body. The physical body will no longer die. Then he says, verse 27, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. So the Father put all things under Christ's feet. Christ is not God. He is the Son of God, and all power belongs to the Father who gives it to the Son. All things are under the Son's feet. The Son is able to say, I am Lord of Lords and King of Kings, because the Father put it all under his feet. Without the Father, he can do nothing. Why he says that. Okay? I do nothing of myself. He says it in the gospel. I can do nothing of myself. Whatever the Father gives me, that's what I do. Okay? Now, it goes on, and we'll stop here. We'll stop here in these verses because there's quite a bit of information to cover. I don't know if I'll be able to. All here because there's a lot of stuff. I may just read it, and then we come back and pick lunch from it next week. Okay. Now, verse 37. All of it so good. Verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? You know how we say, okay, how are we raised up and how cute I'm going to look when I raise up? I'm going to look just like you. But without the functions of the system that has us, you know, looking the way we look. We're going to be like us. I'm going to be able to tell my brother-in-law when I see him. I'm going to be able to tell, you know, the Secretary Denise when I see her. If not, I'm going to be like, who is that? No, I'm going to be able to know, oh, that's Denise. So this is what it's starting to explain here, verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? He said, thou fool, we're in the ground. Just going to say it that way. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest, thou sowest not that body that shall be, but fair grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but Yah giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So when you plant grain, the grain grow up into seed, but it grow up and look like grain. It has its own distinctive, you may have some things similar to it, but grain looks like grain. It's fashioned according to the way Yah desires for it to be. He's given us that to understand the physical body. All of us are beautifully and wonderfully made. We're a marvelous work of Yah. And when we work up, when we resurrect, we will be in that glory, in that glorious state of what he created us to be. It's not like I'm going to come back looking like Elder. You know, it's not that you're going to come back looking like your favorite celebrity. You're going to come back with what was planted. You were planted as a physical body. That physical body will be raised up in a state that it was supposed to be. The seed of a grain is not what the grain really is. That's not the final state of the grain. So what you see in reference to you is not the final state of you from the glorified state. When that takes place, there is something that's going to, you know, when you resurrect, you're going to resurrect in the awesomeness and the beauty of what God created you to be and what he has given you. Like the same as myself. Okay? And so, you know, I ain't going to have to work out then because I'm going to be looking a whole lot better than what I do now. What I work out to get, it comes nowhere close to what I'm resurrected to be. We got the house of Yah then. That's going to be some kind of body. Okay? Now, so as we look at it, verse 37, it says, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but thy grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But Yah giveth a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Okay? All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men. We all have the same flesh. But we don't all have the same physical makeup. We may have similarities, but each one of us is again beautifully and wonderfully made. Okay. Now, verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, and another of fishes. And another bird. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Okay? But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star differs one from another star in glory. You can look at all these stars, all these luminousness, not planets, light, luminousness that glow. They all have their different glory, their different illumination. So he's setting it up to explain to us how we will be in the resurrection. Okay? Verse 41, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of star, for one star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. So this body that you see of mine, if y'all tear it, will die. It will go to the dust, so to speak, in corruption. But when Christ returned and that resurrection of my soul back to that physical body, it will be raised up in the awesomeness by which y'all intended for it to be. You're not going to have to worry about diabetes. You're not going to have to worry about headaches. You're not going to have to worry about, I got corns on my toes or whatever it is that you're concerned about. God said, that is not the state by which you will be raised. You will be raised up in the highest glory of what you are, what I created you to be. So we're going to be awesome in this resurrection. Verse 43, it is sold in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sold in weakness. It is raised in power. That means that we are not limited with the physical body. That's why Christ was able to walk through walls. When we get this physical resurrection, man, all the limitations are off. Okay? It is 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. This resurrected body will not be in its natural form. That's why you will not be able to kill it anymore. Verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. God, Yah, breathing his life, he became a living soul. But when we resurrect now, the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. So the body is raised, but it is a spirit body. The body is not limited now. Okay? Verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthly, physical, dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Okay? First man was Adam, made of earth. The second man is the Lord from heaven.
Skip 46.
Did I? I think I did. Verse 46, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, yeah, I did, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. So we get a spiritual body during the resurrection. Okay? Verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. 47. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 48. As is the earthly, so are they also that are earthly. What Elder said now, earthly shows a separation now. If I am somebody who operates in unrighteousness, then I am carnal. That's where you get the carnal from. So when I tell somebody, oh man, you're just being carnal, what I am saying is you are being earthly. You are being like someone that is separated from Christ. So because of that, you will get the same results of your carnality. An earthly body that will function the same way at its death. And we'll see it here. Verse 47. Verse 48. As is the earthly, so are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, so are they also that are heavenly. When you look at all of us as a whole, we are all earthly. During the resurrection, we will be heavenly. Why? The souls go there. So when the soul come back and resurrect with that physical body, that earthly body, then that earthly body has to turn like the soul. Heavenly. This is why the scripture says it. So when the souls come back to resurrect the earthly body, then the earthly body has to transform into what that soul feels, the heavenly portion of us. Okay? Now, this is why the scripture says this. In verse, did I read verse 49? Did I read verse 49?
No.
Okay, verse 49 says, "And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." We look at the earthly body. When we return, that earthly body that will be transformed, we'll see how it's going to take place in this same passage, will be transformed to look like the heavenly. Okay? Now, verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yah." Why? Because that flesh and blood now will be transformed to look like the heavenly. It can't enter in the kingdom. That's why this is said. It has to be changed. So since it has to be changed, how is it going to change? When Christ returns, how are we going to change? We'll see it here. Okay? Verse 50, "Now this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yah, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery." Here it is now. I'm going to show you a mystery about death and also a mystery about those who live, who are alive and remain when Christ returns. I'm going to show you a mystery. Just do these things. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Meaning that those who are dead, the souls, will return and resurrect the physical body, and that physical body has to change and look like the heavenly soul. We who are alive during this time, not having died, will also change and look like the heavenly soul. Body will change in the twinkling of an eye. That's what the scripture points out. This is the mystery. This is the great thing that the church doesn't want to take a look at, because they just think, oh, when Jesus turns, he's just going to take us all to heaven. No, that is a twinkling of an eye. There's a transformation going to take place, and those souls will reunite with their physical body. And when it does, that physical body has to change into the resemblance of the heavenly. And we who are alive and see Christ return, we will change the same way. That's why it goes on and says in verse 52, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump," okay, "for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we who are alive, we shall not all die, and we shall be changed." The dead will be raised incorruptible. Okay? "And we shall be changed." Verse 53, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." When Christ returns, we who are in Christ will become immortal, just like the saints who return with him, the soul, and Christ himself. We will all be immortal, and those of us who are alive and remain in this physical body to see him return, we will now become immortal. We will change and become like the heavenly bodies. That's why we start dealing with these wicked on the earth and not going to be able to kill us. We're incorruptible. Okay? That's why they're going to be freaking out when they speak, when Christ returns and set up his kingdom on earth, and they are looking at men who now have heavenly bodies. They're going to know what to do with us. They're going to get in line in a hurry. Okay? Now, verse 54, "For when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because right now death is getting victory because the body is having to go in the ground. Thus thou shall return. But when Christ returns, the righteous are going to resurrect. And those who are alive and remain will be changed in the twinkling of an eye into the glorified heavenly body that we all have been promised to have. Okay? Verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But verse 57, but thanks be to Yah, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Yehoshua Mashiach. He is the Savior of the world. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now you understand what I say to the system, and I'm saying to them right now, you cannot do nothing to me. I'm not afraid of any system. I'm not afraid of any government. I'm not afraid of any law. I'm not afraid of anybody that will kill this physical body, because all they're doing is sending me to my elevated state in glory, and I shall return to get that sleeping body and be victorious in the resurrection. Death has no more control. But we're confident. And because we're confident, it makes us be steadfast. So that's why when these systems start coming after the saints of Yah, we now stand bold, immovable, unmovable, steadfast, always abounding in the work of Yah. I don't care what nobody said. They ain't going to take me away from my walk with Yah, because I know the end of the story, and I know what happens to me at death. You know what happens to you at death. So now somebody put a gun on you. You don't have to fear, because you know all they can do damage to, if y'all permit, the physical body. All you do is step out of one and into your now heavenly spiritual body or your soul until you come back to resurrect to get the heavenly spiritual body. So because we have this information, last verse, I'm closing, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, each one of you that's hearing my voice, be steadfast, stand firm, unmovable. Don't let nobody shake you in this thing. Always abounding in the work of Yah, always working to please Yah. None of this makes, I don't care about stuff. My concern is to have an eternal heavenly body that is with Yah forever. That's all I'm concerned about, bottom line. And each one of us be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. It may get a little tough down here, because Paul points out the body groans in 2 Corinthians 5, I believe. Yeah, it groan, it aches, it hurts, but no, don't let that move you. Don't let bad circumstance move you. Don't let lost loved ones move you. Don't let anything move you, because you know where the story is. Or let me change that. You know where the story begins. Our last breath here is our first breath there, so to speak. And we are returning to get a body that is in the grave, in those caskets. We're coming back to get them, to turn them into the glorified or heavenly state that we are in as a soul. True, man. Can't nobody tell me nothing when it comes down to my walk with God. I am steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the Lord. I'm fully persuaded. Okay? Any questions or comments? Good. Okay. Let's get ready to close. Father Yah, we bless you. We just thank you for another opportunity to understand death, or from the perspective by which we should, how we sleep. And we're excited and just proud that you revealed to us in your word the truth, so that we can have confidence knowing that that our labor is not in vain, that we do have eternity to look forward to. We just don't want to spend it in the wrong place. And we bless you for that, Yah, in the name of your dear son, who you sent to make it all possible. And we glorify him and love him for his faithfulness to you, Father. We desire to be like him, faithful in all our ways. And we just bless you in his name. We do pray. Amen.